Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Entrepreneurial Excellence Radio Show, highlighting women in business in your community. I am Heather L. Caffey, a Prosperity Advisor, and I am so grateful to have you tuning in. You can participate in a couple of ways to be part of our show. You can call in and talk to a guest or myself at 646-595-3440, or simply go to www.blogtalkradio.com/withinsight, register and be part of our chat. We're here every Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern, so tune in and get your excellence. Hello, everyone. This is Heather L. Caffey, a Prosperity Advisor, live. We are in the studio with a special Halloween guest for you, and I'd like to introduce, giving you a special happy Halloween, the Master of Terror, another inspiring director, Alfred Hitchcock.
Good evening. This is Alfred Hitchcock inviting everyone to have a happy Halloween. Unfortunately, I do not have a sponsor to kid around with, so I will return the reins over to Heather. Have a good night.
Wow, that was amazing, folks. Live, the infamous Alfred Hitchcock in our studio. Today is my absolute favorite holiday, and I'm going to be playing a little bit of music in the background. This is also Concrete Blonde, one of my favorite groups. This is Bloodletting the Vampire. So I heard it on CD 101 or 102.5 on my way here, and I got inspired for you. So this is going to be a really fun show. We've got a great guest lineup today. We have Larry Myers, director and writer, producer, and creator of the Scarfed Assassin movie. He will be on in a little bit talking about the Scarfed Assassin movie, the making, and his journey with that, and his goals for future projects, and how you can maybe get your story in his next movie. That would be exciting, right? So, you know, looking forward to having you guys call in. You can call into our show. I'm calling the phone number 646-595-3440. That's 646-595-3440. We also have a live chat line at blogtalkradio.com/withinsights. All you have to do is go to the link, click on it, and join the show live, and you can register and start to ask questions. So we'll be taking callers from our studio, as well as answering questions in our live chat. So please don't hesitate to ask. Before we get started on the program, I wanted to take this time to do a little shout-out for an event that I volunteered at this morning, the Senior Living Festival. It's an amazing opportunity to celebrate our senior community and to help inform them of all the resources that are available. I went around and connected with a lot of these organizations that are doing some really amazing nonprofit work as well as community action for our community. And so I wanted to briefly take a moment to mention a few of those, and I'll be sharing them periodically throughout the show on our commercial break. Again, you know, seniors are an invaluable part of our community, and one thing that the indigenous tribes do that Americans don't is truly celebrate and honor their elders and their ancestors in the past, but more importantly, the family unit doesn't kick the parents and the grandparents out. It celebrates them, and really that is the core focus of their community, is their seniors. And so as a society in America, we don't really take the time to acknowledge or recognize a valuable part. So, you know, when you're young, you think you've got all the answers and it's a lot of fun. And, you know, all you need to do is keep going. You've got your health. There's nothing to worry about. Then you get a little bit older and things start to get crickety and, you know, life takes over. You have kids, a family. And then after that, it's like, oh, party time, you know, the baby boomers. And then you're over 65, 70. And imagine you at your age today and being 70 and how you would feel if you weren't being respected for all the history and efforts that you had made in the community. So that's what Senior Living Festival is all about. It's part of the Senior Roundtable, which is an amazing organization that I participate in monthly. That just also, again, offers resources and opportunity to help bring, you know, information and resources to the senior community and really to anyone and families. So you can go to Senior Living Festival and look that up online and connect with that group for next year. Be a volunteer. It is a lot of fun. So with that being said, I want to give a shout-out to Brenda Donner, my friend who does and coordinates all the volunteers and many wonderful groups. So thank you, Brenda, for being you. She's got a meetup group on meetup.com called Volunteer Connection. So if you're looking to give back to your community, that is an excellent resource to do so. So I met a woman, Elizabeth Brockbrader, of Simply Ease Home Delivered Meals. A lot of you have probably heard of Meals on Wheels, who I also met, and they have a big government and community action support, always looking for volunteers to help out, and they deliver some high-quality, nutritious meals out to those that can't get food or unable to leave their homes or just don't have the money and resources to do so. So I want to bring your attention to Simply Ease, which is a more low-sugar, low-calorie option for those of individuals that are maybe experiencing recovery from heart attack, heart surgery, they're diabetic, they just want to stay in shape, it's important to them, they like nutrition. She offers some really vacuum-packed quality meals, so you can check her out at Simply Ease, 1-877-396-3251. So thank you, Elizabeth, for what you do. There's also Abaco, which is a small local community-owned long-term lodging company. They specialize in supporting the individual for rehabilitation in nursing facilities. They're located in Columbus off Canopy Place. And you can reach them at 614-224-5738. So thanks again, Dwayne, for being a volunteer for today's event, supporting us. I want to give a special shout-out to Step Lively Foot and Ankle Centers. Met a wonderful woman that helped answer questions for me about my bad ankles from being a ballerina and a dancer and my insteps and all that. And so she had some great recommendations. They've got several locations on the Northeast, Gahanna, Dublin, Reynoldsburg, Tri-County, and Grove City. So that's Step Lively Foot and Ankle Centers. And you can go to steplivelyfootandankle.com for more details on them. So that's a little bit of the vendors that were volunteering their time and participating at the Senior Living Festival. Now I want to take a quick commercial break, and then we will bring on our first guest, Larry Myers. Again, the writer, producer, and creator of the Scarf Assassin movie. And you can see trailers on the YouTube channel, which you can link to from the website, which is www.thescarfassassinmovie.com. We're going to take a quick 30-second break, and we will be back.
You are listening to withinsightsradio.com. And withinsights.com, your free online holistic publication resource magazine for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. Please feel free to explore our daily inspirational quotes and uplifting stories, exclusive interviews with local world-known inspirational leaders.
Welcome back. You're listening to Entrepreneurial Excellence Radio Show, highlighting women in business in the community. I am Heather L. Tapia, Prosperity Advisor, and I am here today in the studio with writer-producer Larry Myers, good friend of mine, wonderful individual focused and dedicated to empowering the femininity and feminine message of balance and empowerment. And I'm really looking forward to giving him a platform to share a little bit more about his background story. And then we'll get into a little bit about the making of the Scarfed Assassin movie, the history, the story, and where you can get your own copy of this amazing, fun, lighthearted look into some kick-butt belly dancers and an underground group called La Guerre, a group of women assassins who take revenge on men who think they can get away with attacking, raping, persecuting, stalking, harassing young girls and women. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Larry Myers. Larry, how are you today?
I'm fine.
Tell us a little bit about you and, you know, your background, where you're from, that kind of thing.
Well, I grew up in Arlington, Virginia. Started college out here in Columbus in 1963. Attended Capital for 3 years, switched to Ohio State. I was going to major in electrical engineering, and instead I got my degree in philosophy. Then went back for law school for a year and a half, and then got my master's degree in social work. And I've been working in a psychiatric hospital since 1969, and looking forward to retiring this year when I hope to make some more movies.
Wonderful. Well, that's awesome, Larry. So you've had a very interesting journey, and we're going to get a little bit more into the movie. But what I like to do on my show is give my guests an opportunity to really share something that the average person that knows them or the local community would want to know about them. So is there any little fun uniqueness about you that you'd like to share with our audience today?
Well, I've discovered another life in the world of dance, and it started when I was working on my master's thesis in social work. I took up an interest in dance therapy, and then after my thesis was done, I kept going to dance therapy workshops. You know, I no longer had an excuse, like I'm working on a thesis here. I just continued with that and got really involved with improvisational work, and for me, what has been very therapeutic in that. A year ago today, I had heart surgery, and they were trying to push me into doing some kind of workout as part of my recovery, workout in the sense of getting on a treadmill and lifting weights and stuff like that. And I intend to be using dance as a replacement for that, because if I've got to do something like that, it's got to be something fun, got to be something that's going to refer me rather than exhaust me and depress me, which is what the rehab was like for me. So I guess those are a couple of fun facts. I got into movie making from doing video work. I attended a dance workshop, and I brought my camcorder 1 year, and I was the only one there with video equipment, so I videotaped people at the dance workshop, and I was so well received that I got to go to the workshop again the next year for free. So from dancers like, even though I've never had professional training as a videographer, dancers like what I do because I show the whole body. I don't zoom in on just the face like professionals do. When you're doing a dance, the whole body is involved. It's not just the face. And with belly dancing, it's really kind of dumb to just zoom in on a smiling face when you've got the whole body doing stuff. So I guess because of my bias as a dancer, it's affected my video work a lot. In fact, I call it show the feet videography. You know, I think dancers appreciate that.
Well, I know, Larry, from, you know, being a professional dancer, we are very critical of how we performed our moves, and it's really helpful when we get an opportunity to see ourselves back on video. I know all of my performances were videotaped, and that, you know, allowed me to see how to improve. It got me more confident, and watching myself, being in front of the camera, being on the stage, you know, that's why I'm not shy in any way, shape, or form because of this feedback. So, you know, you're serving, definitely helping support the belly dancer grow and express themselves better. Would you say that as a videographer and, you know, starting doing the belly dancing, is that what kind of got you interested in being a director and doing your own movie?
Well, actually, I was writing stories when I was in elementary school. I would have, like, piles of paper of things that I had written. And instead of getting a lot of encouragement, I aggravated my teachers with that, because I would have my own project going, and then they would want me to do their project in their class, which, to be frankly, seemed kind of dumb. I've written all these pages of stuff. Isn't that good enough? But yeah, I've always had an imagination, and I've always enjoyed storytelling. So I think all of that kind of came together. I guess that's what I like about the performing arts, because there's a lot of different things in my life. You know, I was going to be an electrical engineer before I majored in philosophy. I've touched upon lots of different things, but nothing seemed to really pull it together or make it cohesive. It seemed like my life is compartmentalized, and I split up in a lot of different directions. And performing arts gives you an opportunity to pull it all together. You know, take your stories, take your creativity, take your dance, take whatever, and make something out of it. Make a performance piece out of it. I guess before, I've been making movies, I called myself a performance artist, and I would be inspired by dreams. I would have these weird dreams, and I'd make scripts out of them. And then with the advent of having a video camera, I'd have somebody tape it if I would perform it. In fact, it's interesting. I just finished a course by Carl Jung, who was heavily into dreams, but I had never read anything or taken any classes a few years ago when I created this piece that I showed to the Young House here in Columbus. This is about maybe, 15 years ago or whatever. And they, I said, maybe, you know, some of your members would like to see this performance piece. And they said, well, we think it's too advanced. Which is kind of interesting, because I had never read a word of Jung, and suddenly I'm an advanced student by their definition, not mine. Anybody's listening who's a member of the Jung House, this happened years ago. You know, the people there now may have a different opinion.
So creative arts and expressing ourselves as an artist, it's fabulous how it can evolve and take different turns and flow. When, you know, you're taking your stories and writing, and I've been a writer since I was a little kid too. In fact, I'm going to state it out on the air. One of my commitments this week is to get back to my writing. I've got some books that are already, like, ready to go. They just need to be rewritten, edited, formatted, and then get my ebooks up. And my goal is to have my 5 Steps to Abundance on ebook this week, and then to start working on my other two, and then hopefully finish my third book, Drinking with Dionysus, and get that out there. It's a fun, you know, take you all over the place fiction story. So, you know, looking for writing partners and accountability, if you're a writer and you want support, you don't know what to do with your manuscript, to get it online and get it marketed, I have a whole division called getpublishedtoday.info. that I started specifically so that I could co-op energies with other writers and authors, but to provide resources and accountability, which is what I needed to get my first book finished. And so, you know, go to getpublishedtoday.com or getpublishedtoday.info. We also have a Facebook fan page that I'll put on our page, and that's where you can get information and resources as well. So, Larry, let's get into the Scarfed Assassin movie a little bit. What I love most about your movie is your attention to taking real-life events and plugging them into the storyline, which makes the storyline more emotionally charged and, I think, more believable. What gave you that idea to add more real-life aspects instead of just doing a purely fiction-based storyline?
I guess one thing was that I didn't want to do just another action-adventure movie. I mean, we've seen thousands of those already. I wanted this to have something different about it. And I would say since about 1963, I made my own personal archive of stories, especially stories involving women who, without any kind of self-defense training or any kind of martial arts training, managed to think their ways out of very difficult situations. The women's stories especially appeal to me because growing up as a man and having to deal with pecking order in junior high and high school and feeling, bluntly feeling afraid most of the time because, boys were always, like, threatening each other and trying to establish hierarchies and stuff
like
that.
Well, and bullying is a big aspect of what's going on in today's society. In fact, cyberbullying is really an epidemic. And so I just want to give a quick shout-out to tearbear.org, who is helping alleviate some of these things because, I think as a kid I was a little bit of the bully. unfortunately, because there wasn't anybody to tell me not to. Not in a mean way, but I used to beat up the boys, but I don't know what that was about. But, yeah, so, sorry you had to go
cool.
through that. I'm still fighting back, right? So, yeah, continue. Sorry about that.
Yeah, like I say, with women able to put all these resources together and fight back, than I could, being somebody who was not into the aggressive athletics like we were encouraged at that age. So those stories always had a special appeal to me, and whenever something would come down the pike, I'd record it and keep it somewhere long before we had camcorders and videotapes and we had magazine articles, and I would say even before we had Xerox machines, or eventually Xerox articles. So it just seemed natural to, why not include some of these stories in the movie?
Well, let's talk about tell us a little bit about the first inspiration for the movie and how you got the idea to even take on this project.
Okay, there was a woman in Erie, Pennsylvania, who was a dancer in a restaurant, bar, kind of setting. And there was, a customer who took her dance as they come on, and when she was outside of there, just walking on the street, he kept trying to grab her. And at first, she had got away from him or attempted to get away from him. In fact, two times when he was trying to grab her, he got away from it. The third time she realized that this wasn't going to get anywhere, and she beat him up. This is somebody without self-defense training. She was a dancer. She just used her dancer's knowledge, and I guess something that doesn't occur to a lot of people is that generally, people who do attack women probably are not dancers. I've not done any statistical study on that, but anyway, she got the best of him in the fight, but after he was down on the ground, she kept kicking him because she didn't want him to get up and keep pursuing her, and that was the only part of the fight that was witnessed. So as a result, he ended up taking her to court, and she ended up going to jail. I think it was 1 to 2.5 year prison sentence. And the would-be rapist, nothing happened with him. So I was outraged about this. I wrote letters to 60 Minutes and a bunch of other news organizations. And I got these form letters back saying the story wasn't newsworthy enough and
blah, blah, blah. So I channeled my anger into a story. And in this story, there's a organization, the Secret Women's Organization, that would look out for people like her. And in the story, the rapist would be sitting at the restaurant, and one of these women would confront him, letting him know that if he keeps doing what he's doing, they were going to take him out. And this is back around 2006 when I wrote the first draft of this. And there was a group in Chicago called Babes with Blades. I post about this on various internet groups, and they responded. I talked to one of them, and there was a wonderful conversation that we had, but nothing came of it, probably because the story that I wrote involved a lot of action and a lot of complexity. So I simplified it, tried again in 2008, advertised in Craigslist, and got a lot of responses. Professional quality actors. I've discovered that if you can get really good quality actors, if they like your script because they want it on their resumes, so I could pay next to nothing and get some really good talent, which is what happened. Had about 20 actresses apply for the write back, say they were interested in the lead, and they sent me their headshots. But I wrote back to them and said, you know, your headshots are very appealing, but I want somebody who's going to sit across from a restaurant table and threaten rapists. I want to be, can you be scary? Can you look threatening? You look very beautiful. And so that narrowed it down.
Well, and, you know, through the process of looking and searching the hiring actors, I know it took quite a while. How long did it take for you to finally get your end of the line cast?
Well, it kept growing.
Okay.
You know, I mentioned I had chopped some scenes out after the Chicago version. I ended up adding scenes to it as more and more people started coming forward, people who were related to people who had already written back. I don't want to give away too much of the story, but there's a scene involving a bunch of angry middle-aged women. And that was one of the actresses who lived down in Southern Ohio, and she belonged to a motorcycle club of, you know, women in their 40s and 50s, I think 60s. And she said, we could come and be in your movie. And I said, sure. So they drove up in the van, brought food and everything. We spent a day filming one of the, I think, most memorable scenes in the movie.
And, you know, let's talk about that. And, you know, when you started this project, did you think it was going to be as big as it ended up being?
No, not at all.
Let's talk about that. Tell us what, when you started the project, what was kind of like your vision? And then where did your vision actually end up?
Well, I was going to play the bad guy initially. Basically because I didn't think I could afford a good enough actor for it. But when I was getting this quality of response, like I said, 20 people initially responded, it occurred to me that I was selling myself short, not using a professional actor, especially finding out that if people like the script, they perform for next to nothing, be in it. I think we did work through about three actors, but I eventually went back to Craigslist and advertised for someone to portray, I call them a Republican yuppie rapist, because I wanted this guy to be from the upper crust, because in the movies we constantly think of rapists as people from the other side of the tracks and poor people and that sort of thing, and I think, you know, the real rapists are the 1% in this culture, certainly the... He raped us economically. So I wanted this guy to be a yuppie. I wanted him to be wearing a suit and tie at the restaurant and be a businessman. So I got this worked through about three actors, but finally found the actor just in time. with my leading lady who's about to leave for California. And we
and Karita, yeah, Karita's doing amazing out there in California. I just did a post shout out to her on our Facebook fan page. So don't forget to become a fan of Entrepreneurial Excellence Radio Show on Facebook. And you can connect with actress Karita Fleming and see her career. I know she's been doing a lot of fun stuff. She's a kick butt actress. She's played zombies. She's played murderers. I don't know what else she played, but she's doing a lot of stuff out there. So God bless her. And I'm excited to know her from, you know, participating with Larry and seeing his movie. I think another cool fact is the clothing that Karita does. And, you know, it is about fighting back and being empowered. That's really the message of the movie. So if you can get past the aspects that might not appeal to you, but keep on hold on the integrity of the message, which is, you know, you can stand up for yourself, and that is important to do. And that's really what Larry is trying to share. So
I should mention, I didn't know about her personal story, you know, at the time that we were filming. It just kind of came up.
So that's a surprise ending, folks. So we're not going to tell you what it's about, but we will share a way for you to have your story be in the next filming and the next movie that Larry decides to do. So, you know, keep going with, you were talking about, you know, finding the actress and how that all kind of came together, and so I'll let you finish that part.
I've made the comment, it's like I shook a tree and all this fruit came coming down. And another aspect, again, I had not planned on was music. And the mother of one of the actresses in the movie knew a guy who was a professional musician who had a recording studio down in Dayton. And so next thing I know, popping up in my email is a song.
Which one was that one?
That was the song I used for the opening, Behind the Scarf.
Is that the Scarf Assassin one? Because we have the song, so why don't we play a little bit of that?
I got it.
Not that I don't love your singing, Larry, but we got the real thing here. All right, folks, this is the Scarf Assassin. Hopefully you can hear it.
Can you feel my pain? Will I retreat? Or will I lash out at those who put me behind the scarf?
So that's a little sniglet of one of the custom composed songs that you'll find in the movie The Scarf Assassin. Again, you can go to www.thescarfedassassinmovie.com. There's trailers, there's photographs, there's back end stories. There's a place for you to tell your story, which I'd like Larry to talk a little bit about in a moment, and you know how somebody else can again win an opportunity to be in Larry's next producer role and movie, and really just to give you a place to claim your power and stop being a victim. So we want to hear about that. So again, on the website, you'll also be able to see the awards that Larry's gotten. You've gotten 3 awards. I'm going to mention those real briefly. One thing that the audience might not even consider, there's a lot that goes into getting a final product, right? But just like I tell my authors, that writing the book is just, that's just the beginning of the adventure. It seems like it's the end, but it's absolutely the beginning. So you've got to write the storyline. You've got to edit it. You've got to find the actors. You've got to find the location. You've got to have the cameras. You've got to get all that together. You've got to edit, which I know takes hours and hours of time, back-end music, which is awesome. And once it all finally comes together, then what do you do with it? And, you know, one way of doing something with your Wimmer movie, which is the route that Larry took, was being a part of film festivals. So tell us a little bit about that journey. What, you know, what gave you the thought to go ahead and the courage, I should say, to put your movie out there for other people to judge?
Well, I wanted people to see it. What am I
talking to?
Okay. I wanted people to see it. And there's an organization called Without a Box that is I guess originally sort of a third generation from Amazon.com, and aspiring filmmakers have an opportunity. You register with them, you give them your information about your movie, and then they send you a list of all these film festivals going on, and it's like almost every week I get a list from them, and you decide what festivals might be a good place for your movie. And since Without a Box has all the information, all I have to do is just check the particular festival, and they submit the info, and then I mail them. Sometimes they want one copy or three or whatever. I mail them what they want to make their judging.
And, so how long did it take them? Were you in multiple contests at a time? Was there a long delay until you heard back? How did that waiting process go?
I would say all of the above. It takes months to hear back, but I can submit to as many as I want. I think I submitted to like 25. And interestingly enough, it was the first festival that I submitted to that gave it the awards. I don't know what that says. The universe is telling me, yeah, you did a good thing.
And which award was that?
The first one?
Yeah.
I think that was the one up in Cleveland, Ohio. It's called Indie Gathering, not to be confused with Indie Fest, which is another one in La Jolla, California that I won. And there's also Best Shorts, also in La Jolla, California.
So you've won three different awards.
You've won three awards for the movie, and I think that's amazing. As your first, producing debut, don't you? I mean, how often does that happen? I don't know. Are you still submitting the movie to other contests, or what's kind of your focus and direction with the movie today?
I've kind of wound down my activity in submitting to festivals because it's expensive. It's maybe $50 each festival, so if you submit, to five festivals, that's $250. 10 festivals, $500. So I've decided, okay, I got my three awards. If something comes along that looks really good, I'll submit, but otherwise, interesting enough, at the Cleveland gathering that I went to, I met someone who was involved with a film festival out in Illinois, so I gave him copies of the DVD, and so it got submitted just from my meeting him at a festival. I guess the moral is to always carry copies of your work with you.
Well, and I think that's a great tip. I mean, you just had an experience with Fritz the Night Owl, and for those of you that are local to Columbus, Ohio, and grew up watching Fritz the Night Owl, I'm going to share my little Halloween story, because Halloween is my absolute most favorite holiday, and I don't know why, but I was one of those weird kids, and weird in a good way now that I know how to channel my creative flow with that and the connection to spirit and the other, successes and stuff like that. So Fritz the Night Owl did Night Owl Theater every Friday night. Every weeknight? Oh, well, I was a kid. So every Friday night is when I got to watch it, the scary movies. Yeah, Friday night was my thing. That was my routine. So every Friday I would stay up till as late as I possibly can, which is usually like, I think, 1 o'clock or something, 3 o'clock. Yeah, it started like midnight. So I would stay up, had my little, turnstile TV in my room. They did not have remote controls yet, folks. Yes. There used to be no internet, no cell phones, no remote controls, and oh my God, no DVR. Who could handle that? And so I would watch that, and then I would get up about 10 or 11, because I always slept in. I hated waking up. I would read my books, and then I would watch Soups On every Saturday, because it was another double feature of scary movies. So loved Fritz the Night Owl. I think he actually lived on my street. So that was kind of cool, or son did or something like that. So you can still see him. He does events at the Studio 35, which is on Indianola. And, Larry, tell us a little bit about what it was like to meet Fritz.
Actually, when he does these events, it's all recorded. You see, he tries to like make it reminiscent of the 1970s. So when he's hosting the movie, he introduces it, and then he pops up during the movie at various spots and makes a few wisecracks, and then gives some historical information about the performers. It's really cool. So he does these like once a month at Studio 35, and then but he is there in person so that you can go out and talk with him and meet him. So I'd heard him talking about, you know, encouraging people to make movies, that they always wanted to make a movie, to go ahead and do it. So I talked to him out in the lobby, and I said, well, I did that. And so, and of course, I had a copy of my movie. Well, it was out in my car, but essentially with me. And so he suggested I give it to his producer. And
we're just waiting to hear.
Yeah, we're just waiting to hear. I don't know what they think of it or if they've seen it or what.
So that's another tip. I'm actually Larry's agent as well, and I have the video and web marketing company as an aspect of the PR company, which you're participating in on the radio show. We've got the TV show and other multimedia available and the Examiner column. And, you know, the key is if you're excited, you've got your new book, you've got your new toy, your new product, your new movie, when you are giving your stuff away for free, make sure you get the contact phone number and email and at least the business entity so you can follow up. Otherwise, it's just floating out there in limbo land, and the key to all of this is following up and seeing what people thought. So for those of you who want to connect to Fritz the Night Owl, we've got his Facebook fan page on our fan page that you can click and like, and, you know, looking forward to seeing what Fritz thinks and his producer and see where we can go with that, Larry. I mean, who knows? I know right now we're focusing on reaching the European audience. We've got International Women's Day coming up. I'm connecting to some different websites and things of that nature. I've got my research assistant working on that. So we can start to post. We're looking to put together a live screening event of the Scarfed Assassin through TalkFusion video sharing platform so that you'll actually be able to register for the event, and then we will email you the event link that you just click on, and then we're going to pull it up, and you'll be able to watch a little mini interview that Larry and I have done, pre-recorded, and then we'll launch the movie. It's about 45 minutes, 50-minute movie. So expect to be able to spend about an hour online. You can donate to the event, and or you can go to the website and purchase the DVD. We're going to be doing DVD special sales, promotions, and so forth. So I think did we have a date set up, or we're looking now at November again because of the power outages and stuff, or where were we at with that? Yeah, we're figuring out a good date because we really want to reach the European market, and, you know, it's just hard. So we're thinking of a Monday evening, maybe like at 8 o'clock. It's going to be a pre-recorded event that you can go in and watch. So stay tuned. You'll get that information on the ScarfedAssassin.com website. We've also got a fan page for the Scarfed Assassin. Don't forget to like us there. What else do you want to share about your journey with the Scarfed Assassin movie? What do you want the listener to know that's going to entice them to watch your show?
You know, like I mentioned, there were a lot of unexpected developments and things that turned out to look like they were going to be obstacles eventually turned out into something more powerful and bigger than I originally imagined. One thing I have not mentioned so far today are illustrations.
Yeah.
I was at this meeting and I saw a woman who was an artist who had drawn a whole bunch of pictures of gargoyles. She was like into gargoyles. And it had dawned on me that this might be a good thing to use in my movie for when I want to break away from the fictional story to tell a true story and not be criticized for confusing the two, blurring the line, because I've heard some movies I've heard that criticism made where it's supposed to be based on fact, but there was obviously fiction, and the producer didn't make it clear as to what was speculation and what wasn't. So I wanted to make it clear. And so basically, whenever there's a true story, there's an artist's rendering, you know, still a picture with an artist's rendering, rather it breaks away to, and in know that this is real, and then the story is fiction, that it comes back to. So I wanted an artist to, I was looking for one artist. Again, I posted on Facebook, got lots of replies, but for some reason they just didn't pan out. And the way I eventually solved the problem was to get three artists on the project rather than just one. My big obstacle was I was constantly looking for the one person to do the illustrations. And finally, by having three artists working on the project, I got the illustrations that I needed in the movie. And again, it was an expansion that I hadn't originally visualized, and I think it really makes it work. What else?
let's do our call to action. One thing you can do, folks, again, I've kind of hinted throughout the show that you have an opportunity to have your story told in the next movie that we're going to be producing. And I know, Larry's very passionate. I'm very passionate about supporting women and their ability to fight back. And we support Impact Safety, which is a great organization that teaches how to defend yourself in real-life situations so that it becomes body memory and instinct, and that's how you can be successful. So if you think you have to wait to be in a high-risk situation to learn how to defend yourself, that is not the correct plan of action. You want to practice so that when you are in that high-risk situation, it's simply routine, and you know what it feels like to take down that 270-pound man that's attacking you, or multiple perpetrators like I had to deal with. So hopefully nobody is in that situation, but I would say the statistics are staggering. I would guess if I had 30 women in my studio today and I asked every single one of them, would be able to tell us a situation that they were either frightened to be in and or actually experienced some type of attack, or would know somebody very, very close to them that had the same situation. So I don't think it's one and two. I think it's two and two. Larry, do you have something?
Sure.
I went to a presentation in Columbus. We have an organization called Women Against Rape, abbreviated WAR. And they train people in self-defense. But one of the things they would mention in their presentation was something like 85-90% of attempted rapes were thwarted just with the scream, just with the yell. And it occurred to me that, we're talking, what we see on the media are not just the attempted rapes, but the completed rapes, but we don't see the much higher percentage numbers of attempted rapes that were not complete, where the woman yelled or got away or fought back. That's got to be like in the 90 percentile. The media is only going to focus on the downside of it all. But, the stories that I'm interested in are when the woman has not had any preparation, has not had any special training, and has still managed to find her way out of the situation. There was a book published in 1987 called Her Wits About Her that consists of stories told by the actual women. It's a collection of these kinds of stories where basically you're using your wits. So I think that there is that going for you too. Yes, it's great to have the training. Yes, I highly recommend it. But even if you don't have the training, there are things you can think of, things you can do, and there are lots of success stories out there, and I want to draw as much publicity to them as I can. And one person, by the way, finally submitted a story.
Let's look at that. Did you tell them how they can submit their story?
Go to the website. There's a heading that says, tell us your story. I think you have to become a member.
It's free.
But it's free, yeah.
You just register.
Yeah, you just register on the website, and you can tell if you have a story of successfully fighting back, by all means, because I would love to have a whole collection of these, choose from, in creating the next movie.
Let's give the audience kind of a time frame. I know that we're ramping up our push for these stories as your retirement hopefully becomes more imminent, when do you anticipate sitting down and starting to write at least the outline or the agenda of this next venture?
I have no idea. I write by inspiration. I've always hated writing exercises where they tell you to, you know, describe your latest vacation or something like that. Anything that puts a deadline on me, I just vacate. I write by inspiration, and I know that there'll be something coming along that will inspire me, but I can't guarantee you when that will be, and I am kind of pushing things until retirement so that I can just kind of enjoy my life. This movie, by the way, took 3 years of my life, and I had to give up a lot of social activities, a lot of fun things, you know, to do it. Not that I wouldn't do it again, and not that the experience has been worthwhile and a lot of fun, and I've certainly met a lot of incredible people through it. But at the same time, it's been kind of exhausting. There's a part of me that wants to just see how far I can go with this movie, and then when I retire, which, by the way, I think is going to be this next October, around this time next year.
Okay.
Then, you know, I can start focusing my energies on another movie.
Well, I know, and we're really excited to see how that evolves. I plan on putting my own fight-back stories. I've got a couple on the website. I just haven't had a time, so that's why I set my writing goal to do that. Looks like we only have a few more moments left. I wanted to do a few more shout-outs from today's event at the Senior Living Center. I want to give a special shout-out to Lorraine McCoy. She was volunteering with the American Heart Association, and she is a part of McCoyWealthAdvisors.com. And she, when I told her about International Women's Day, she gave me a whole slew of individuals and businesses to contact. And, in fact, I'm hoping to get her more involved as things progress because she's an idea woman like me. So, you know, if you have a chance, you can see her website on our Facebook fan page, and you could also go to www.mccoywealthadvisors.com, tell Lorraine Heather Tappy, a prosperity advisor, sent you. And, you know, as a special thanks, we've also got Paul Bouchard of the Central Ohio Parkinson's.org Association. Him and his friends were very helpful and interested in bringing awareness to Parkinson's. You know, we all know and love Michael J. Fox. Watched him on Family Ties and then Back to the Future. And, you know, he really helped put a face to Parkinson's. I believe Muhammad Ali had it too, didn't he? Yeah, my favorite boxer. And, you know, you can still be a functional, viable human being when you are given some type of, as we would say, life-threatening or crippling diagnosis. So please, please, please don't let the diagnosis become your identity in any way, because you are still a viable, living, breathing, productive member of society if you choose to be that, you know. And it is a choice. It's a mindset, a heart set. So I appreciate Paul and all his organization is doing to bring awareness to that. The Wexler Medical Center, Marty was a great help today. And again, all of these that are mentioning have value because they're supporting the Senior Living Center and helping support seniors around. Near and dear to my heart is pet advocacy. And so I've got two final mentions in that care category. I've adopted all my animals and or found them. They found me. So, you know, it's great to have a purebred animal. I don't want to diss that in any way. But truly, from, you know, rescuing and saving a life, to me, outweighs spending $800 to $10,000 on an animal just to have its bloodline. So mutts are fabulous. I have three. Sabrina Marie Conchita, my Border Collie Chow, is my first dog that I got from the Capital Area Humane Society. Rest in peace, my beauty. And then I've got two others, Goofy Booties, that make every day interesting, and then my cat. So, again, Capital Area Humane Society, and you can call Jessica Kendro. They need volunteers. They need donations like any nonprofit, and they're out there on
Scioto Darby. You can call them at 614-777-7387. So don't think not to adopt a pet. And as Bob Barker says, get them spayed and neutered. another mention, Faithful Forgotten Best Friends. This is a nonprofit group that I think a lot of people don't think of. And, you know, I've done a lot of work supporting the Homeless Coalition and so forth. And this organization supports homeless individuals with pets, either by bringing them food, actually helping them get the animals spayed and neutered. Connie is one of the co-founders, so she's a woman in business. And, you know, they are out there reaching out to an unsung part of the community, especially with the shifts in the economy today. There definitely is an increase in mid-America families that are homeless, and mothers helping mothers help mothers find a place to live. Most of them are homeless teen mothers, and then this organization helps with the pet side of it. So you can go to www.F as in Frank, F as in Boy, F as in Frank-Columbus.org and donate or volunteer or get more involved with those organizations. So again, you are listening to Entrepreneurial Excellence Radio Show. We're going to take a quick break and then wrap up the show. Thanks so much for listening.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com and WithInsights.com, your free online holistic publication and resource magazine for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. Please feel free to explore our daily inspirational quotes and uplifting stories, exclusive interviews with local world-known inspirational leaders.
Welcome back. You are listening to Heather L. Tapia, Prosperity Advisor of the Entrepreneurial Excellence Radio Show. We are recording live at the Peace House in Clintonville. It's a nonprofit that I support. We've got a beautiful community room that is available for low rent to hold your classes. We do meditation on Mondays at 7:30 to help balance and bring in more spiritual abundance and to support you in the changes of energy that are occurring right now. It's a safe place to walk in and be you. It's non-denominational, so we don't ask you what your religion is, but if you want to tell us, we'll support it and support you in a space of non-judgment creativity. We've got a massage table healing center energy room that you can rent, as well as an office that's good for coaching, consulting, or study time. So if you're interested, go to www.peacehousecolumbus.org and let us know how we can be of help. Wanted to wrap up the show with a big thank you to Larry Myers of the Scarfed Assassin movie. Again, go to thescarfedassassinmovie.com to get a copy of the video. Become a registered member. It's totally free. It'll get you up-to-date notifications on events, as well as opportunities to get discounts off the DVDs and the other related materials. And we also want to hear your fight back story. So Leslie actually took the time to share with us her fight back story, and it's very appropriate because it actually has to do with scarves. So I thought that was fascinating. She and her coworkers stopped a man from attacking a woman outside of their church, and they happened to have headscarves on, so they heard him and tied him up with their scarves. So how appropriate to be on the Scarfed Assassin show. They didn't choke him and kill him, but at least it's in the same. So, again, thanks so much for participating with the Entrepreneurial Excellence Radio Show. Go to our fan page, be a fan, and check out the organizations that I've posted from the Senior Living Center and see how you can give back to your community and support it. Save the date, March 8th, International Women's Day, www.iwdcolumbus.webs.com for more details on that. And thanks for being a part of it. Happy, happy, happy Happy Halloween, my favorite holiday. So Larry's going to give you a one quick shout-out goodbye, or maybe even Albert Hitchcock will say goodbye. I'm not sure who will come out.
Have a good night and a happy Halloween.
Thank you, guys. Tune in every Wednesday, 2 o'clock, and be in your excellence and see you in your abundance. Take care.